people all over football America singing songs about your greatness. And yet, when I asked you this last year, and plus you have that horseshoe on your hat, if you, with the surname Luck, feel like you are a lucky guy, you said you've never considered that before. Have you and the family put your heads together and said, like, our surname is Luck, we should consider fortune?
Yeah, you know, I think... It's funny because I try to use fortune when I'm talking because I feel like if I use luck, you know, it's weird because of my last name. But you know what? Our dad always told us that you know, luck goes both ways. It can be bad or good. So, but I guess we'll use fortune.
David, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now, here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Andrew Luck off into the sunset. Studio 66 lit up with lights, but also my burning enthusiasm for the arrival of pro football. It is here. Hi and hello. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, like I say, we're ready to roll. And presented, as always, by Zaxby's, the home of famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some of those. I keep saying it, but this raging debate over the last fortnight about the best chicken sandwich here or there. Listen, just ignore all that jive.
Is that right?
Go over to Zaxby's.
I'll do that October 19th when I'm in Nashville to the Chargers Titans.
Oh, don't tell them Dameshek sent you.
No,
don't. That, okay. I don't know if that curries any favor, but I would mention the name Rashawn Evans because he and I worked a drive-through window in the Nashville area around the draft.
Were you a fry cook as well or no?
I worked all manner.
You did?
I had to earn my
keep. All stations?
Yeah, Rashawn Evans was allowed. They're like, oh, you know, celebrity in the house, Dameshek, or whatever your name is. Go clean up some stuff.
And you smelled like that fry grease for a good 2 weeks after, didn't you?
I loved it.
That's great.
Dave, anyway.
All right, football season is here. Andrew Luck will not be a part of it.
A little dab behind each ear.
Mm-hmm. Nectar of the gods.
Oh, that's the sweet scent right there.
Oh, listen, Spaghetti can tell you he can sing songs about Zaxby's as well. But instead, Andrew Luck is retired, so we'll kibitz about that. We have much to get into
here. I'm sorry,
I
do this all the time.
What?
But I do want to ask a question, because I asked this of Petros yesterday on the radio show, and he couldn't answer it. This is all because all Popeyes did was tweet back, y'all good? Like, that's how this happened, right? They posted, we have a new sandwich, can't speak in full, and then, like, Chick-fil-A bounced back with, you know, whatever, chicken, pickles, bun equals love. And then Popeyes tweets back, y'all good? And it got, like, 200,000 likes.
Those names that you're talking about, I've never even heard about that.
All I can think about is Zaxby's.
That's all I have. I have wings, right. Fingers, and salads filling both these ears. I wouldn't even know what they're...
Well, you know why theirs is the best? Because they're not partaking in these reindeer
games.
They
don't need to.
They're just making chicken sandwiches.
Right. That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Take the high road.
All these people are arguing over what the best sandwich is when it's not because of some tweets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, hey,
get over
guys,
there.
That's bronze medal.
Yeah.
It's that's what you're arguing about bronze.
Zaxby's like, bigger, better menu. So there's no need to even worry about the other ones.
Well, all right.
All right, you're going too far now, Spaghetti.
I've had every menu item. I would know.
I would believe me, let's not question it.
Accurate statement.
In one sitting.
In this area.
That was a little excessive that you had every menu item in one sitting.
Well, including
but that was
the
your
salads.
So.
Because we're old.
Zero salads.
Because we are so old, that was actually a challenge when I was in high school. I think everybody probably had the friend that was huge that would try to, you know, pick your friend. Since I can't say their names of the restaurants, God forbid. Jeez.
Well, how did you get that?
You know what? It's in a different category, right?
Sure.
We had a friend, Chet, who challenged us all. And of course, you know, I don't know what I had in my pocket, maybe $5. He's like, hey,
Chet,
you guys all give me $5 a pop. I'll dust everything on the Taco Bell menu tonight. And you're like, all right, let's do this. Went to Taco Bell. And I do recall his last item he had to put down was the Nacho Bel Grande. And he wanted to, and it was much like the great outdoors and the fat and gristle of the old 96er. And he's like, I don't got to eat the sour cream and those nasty green things, do I? And we're like, right you do. You got to eat the sour cream. And man, for a guy that dusted burrito supremes and tacos and enchiladas and that little bowl of just beans and cheese, as soon as he got there, the pain and just the concern on his face, he's like, putting those into his mouth. It was wonderful. But he did it. He dusted it.
I'm no stranger. I am that guy.
You were that guy.
Really?
I'm the food
of the friend. You were the guy. Okay.
I can put it away. Yeah, I can really. I should be much fatter than I already am. I famously, it's an old carnival trick.
We all know this story.
If you ever want to impress friends, but it's not that hard to do, tell them you can eat an entire watermelon in an hour. It's all flavored pink water.
Right.
You can throw that thing down, but your friends will be amazed by it.
How's the rind taste? Isn't it a little hard to chew?
Oh, I see. You're a completionist. You're one of these. Yeah,
you haven't finished that day.
You still got quite a bit to go there.
That sour cream counts. So does the rind over there, pot belly.
Exactly. Hey, how about the rind?
I participated in a wing eating contest when I was in college. The first round. See, that's what you have to do. You have to be you gotta raise your game the deeper you get into the playoffs. So my first round, the drill was you had to eat 50 wings in 15 minutes, and I barely was able to complete it.
That's a lot.
14 minutes and 40 seconds it took me to complete the 50.
Almost didn't qualify for the tournament.
It gained me the right to participate in the next round. Then it was 70 wings.
When was the next round?
Set the following week. Okay. 70 wings in 20 minutes. Who raises their game in the postseason? Tom Brady, I guess. Julian Edelman, Damashek polished the 70 more quickly than he did the 50.
Whoa.
Then the next round was as many wings as you could eat in a half an hour. And when I showed up for that and I looked at my competition, I realized I had no chance. So I took my time. I enjoyed a basket of wings and then I relented. Then I threw in the towel.
How big were the dudes?
They were big.
Just massive individuals. Yeah.
They were built for this life.
That reminds me of my friend William the Refrigerator Perry, who told me that he, during his career, was invited to join in a hot dog eating contest and was paid a large amount of money, even for those
princely sum,
to participate. He ate 5 hot dogs and said, "I'm full now, thanks. That's all I want." And they were like, "But wait, this is a contest." He was like, "No, I'm fine.
I'm good."
I got paid $250,000 or something to eat 5 hot dogs.
I mean, I think, as I've said many times before, and then we will get into the great game of football, but I've said it that when you show up at the hot dog or any other eating competition, the move, if you really want to intimidate your foes, is you order a side of fries and a shake.
And a milkshake, yeah.
Yeah, you just say like, yeah, I'm here for pleasure.
Just to open things up.
I'm not a remorseless eating machine like you, but I will vanquish you. It's like, John Henry Johnson. Like, I don't need you.
I like that move. Shaking fries.
Yeah. Imagine being that guy. Kobayashi and the gross guy who dips
Joey in Chestnut.
Chestnut. Imagine butterscotch shake. So can I get some gravy on those fries? Yeah. That's a move that their heads would spin.
Imagine if you order the fries and then it comes with ketchup and you're like, I'll take some mayonnaise as well. That would intimidate. That's it. It's over. Some people would leave the table.
All right, listen, this is a good time. I was just thinking about the fact that I can't really, the thing I've said all through this offseason is one of the things I've repeated is how hard it is to identify which teams are definitely not going to the playoffs. We are fully into it now. If you missed the last episode, Handsome Hank revealed no fewer than what, 7 you did? Or
I think,
9?
I think I did 9 or 10.
And Spaghetti did 13 teams, Money. 13 teams that are definitely not going to the playoffs. I think Spaghetti really went.
13.
If he hits.
Every year we have a worst to first.
If he could hit even double digits, Handsome. You know, listen, I don't mean to diminish him, but he went chalk. He took all last year's last place teams.
But this is what I explained at the time, I was the opener for you. And then you were like, oh, I've got a big one here. I'd already mentioned it.
I know. Well, you got
so you're chalk too.
I know, but I went Jacksonville Jaguars. But now Andrew Luck is retired, so let's jump in on that right now. Andrew Luck, first of all, Handsome, you have a little bit of history with him. The thing that strikes me about it is, and not to get up on Mount Pius because there's so many people running up to Mount Pius over the 72 hours or so since the Andrew Luck news broke that he's retiring. First of all, it is absolutely his right to retire whenever he wants. If he doesn't want to play for whatever reason, that is his right. The reaction, though, before we even talk about the football implications, that this is another opportunity to for people to prove to themselves, if no one else, that they are better than their fellow human beings by ascending up to Mount Pius and condemning fans. How dare fans boo Andrew Luck? Don't they know these rubes, these dummies, these people who lack any sense of empathy? Andrew Luck is a hero for all. Don't you know he peed blood? Let me tell you, I'll go one step further than everybody up on Mount Pius. I say Andrew Luck doesn't have to have suffered some minimum standard of physical injury. He can retire for any reason he wants. If he wants to become a Yahtzee competitive player,
very popular,
or an eating competition guy, he can retire for that reason too. That the thing that everybody is citing is, don't those people know what he laid on the line? Don't they see, haven't they heard the stories? Shame on those people. Good for you. Yeah, and by the way, that the players are getting in on it too. Big names, Aaron Rodgers. I saw David DeCastro, who played with Luck at Stanford, now a high-end offensive lineman for the Steelers, of course, said, they treat us like we're circus animals. I mean, how much am I supposed to weep over that treatment? Yeah, that's part of the gig, man. You're like Daniel Day-Lewis complaining, I only got into movies. Movie making because for the craft of acting, then just go to the live stage and do Shakespeare Festival. That's exactly right. Just go find some London haunt and do stage productions for 80 people who show up to see you. You want to be a part of the big stage? Well, then that's part of the thing. And the idea that fans shouldn't boo, this straw man argument that's been laid out, that like, hey, let me just tell you something. It's in fact mean-spirited to boo other people. Like, yeah, everybody agrees with that. Also, that's part of the deal if you are in the pro football, in the pro sports in our society in the 21st century. People pay money to go. To me, it's a little strange that grown-ups wear the jerseys of other grown-ups with the names on the back and everything else. But hey, players, hey, leagues, that's what you want to have happen. If the fans stop caring, if they aren't passionate about it, the whole thing implodes. I don't know why I feel like I have to stand up for the fans, but that food chain that I always talk about, GMs and coaches get up and condescend to the media. Bill Belichick probably the best of doing that. Then the media turns around, fans, you don't get what's really going on. You can't understand that. And the fans are like these dopes who just have to take it and only genuflect to the players. It makes me crazy that this is the place that we're in, and there's a lack of recognition until they need fans and they need the support. Hey, we're going through a hard time. When the Lakers pulled that Jazz a couple of years ago, hey, Lakers fans, you were with us for the good times. You better stick with us for the bet. Why? Why do I have to do that when you condescend constantly? I find that is what stood out to me above everything else about the retirement of this.
I think it's okay for people to be disappointed in fans,
of course,
for doing it.
Of course it is.
I'm not going to judge them for saying, right, how dare you. I mean, that's fine. I get that. But I'm with you as well. You want to boo them? Boo them. You're a grown up. Would I do it? No. You know, the guy clearly is. Football is unlike any other sport. It just is. If you walk away when you're done. When you're done, this is not something you want to do. If you're not into it and you don't need the money, it's a nasty sport, man. It beats the living hell out of you. And unless you are 100% committed to doing it, get the hell out.
We even saw a Colts play. Was it Vontae Davis? He's still on the Colts. He retired midway through a game last year.
I did the game.
You did the game.
It was the Charger-Bills game. Right, Bills, he left, exactly. And that was the big Dan Dockage, who took a butt ton of incoming for saying, wait a minute, I do a radio show here. Vontae Davis was a Colt. He walks out at halftime, and I got people calling me nonstop saying, what a bum. You quit on your teammates. How can you do this? How dare you? And now all of a sudden, if you got an opinion that I don't like what Andrew did here before the season, right before the season, everybody thinks this team could win a Super Bowl, and he walks out, and I say, I don't like it, and everybody says, I can't do a radio show in Indy anymore, then I understand what he said. Just pick a lane. My lane is, and it's and again, I'm not trying to climb up on Mount Pius here. I am simply saying my lane has always been, the more people in the world that are happy, the better for all of us. So if Andrew Luck is more happy because he's not playing football anymore, and Vontae Davis, then by all means, more power to them, because they don't need to make me happy and they don't need to make you happy. They're going to be fine, you know, and when they're fine, you're fine. And that's the way I figure it with Andrew Luck. He wasn't going to be doing Colts fans any favors if he comes back and sits on a training table and sits through rehab because he's frustrated with that calf and he doesn't like it. And it's not like I see it any more than other people do, because I work with a team now and I have access to these training rooms and planes and guys icing up after games and see what they look like, you know, when we're flying across the country to go back home. But I get it. I sure as hell wouldn't do it. That is not a profession I have any interest in ever taking part in because of the sacrifices you have to make. So if you don't want to do it anymore,
I hear you.
Get out.
The only reason money wouldn't be an NFL player.
That's it. Exactly.
There's nothing else separate.
No, not the 5'10", 150-pound frame.
There should exist, though, some sense of nuance and the difference between Andrew Luck and other guys. And listen, Chris Borland wasn't filthy rich, I don't imagine.
When just didn't like it.
When he hung it up, he didn't want to do it.
He's like, no, I'm not doing this.
I don't necessarily consider this some canary in the coal mine any more than Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson or Gale Sayers. Obviously, different circumstance there. But this has happened in football before. Yes, it is, in fact, as our friend Maurice will tell you all the time, hey, it's live out there now.
Right.
Better keep your head on a swivel now. Like, it's dangerous on that field. Yeah. It's a game, but it's not a game out there. You better not just be out there lollygagging. He'll remind you of that. Obviously,
I think with Andrew, it's because people think that team could win a Super Bowl.
That's
and they're
right.
like,
right. And
how could he walk
for
away?
Those fans.
That's what it is.
We also, if you look at how that timeline unfolded, obviously took everyone by surprise, right? Well, as soon as we saw that.
I think you're getting to what Adam Schefter, is another element that vexes me so much.
Those fans did not have any of the context, right? So we had it suddenly was announced, and it clearly wasn't on the timeline that Andrew Luck was expecting it to be announced on. So then he's sort of talking to his teammates on the sideline. He's on the sideline of a preseason game, and in that moment, and the fans are like, what, that guy down there retired? Then we have a press conference where he does clarify a lot of his thoughts, and you know, which again was. Looks like it was planned at the last second. Was that halftime of the game?
It was after the game.
It was after the game.
It was after the game.
You know, suddenly we have a press conference where he talks about it, where the people who were then chiding the fans for booing obviously had a lot more context to Luck's thinking.
That's
and why
point,
he was
right.
doing it. Those fans in that one moment were like, wait, what just happened? He's standing there. We're all thinking our team could go to the Super Bowl. Again, I don't necessarily condone how they express themselves, but at the same time, it's completely understandable that you'd be like, my reaction to this.
You're at a preseason game. A couple pops in.
Yeah. It might be to do that.
It's not like it was a universal boo.
Right.
That's exactly right. You know, good for Lindsay Rhodes.
It wasn't Simpson at the Orange Bowl. It wasn't Ashley Simpson at the Orange Bowl is what I'm saying. All right.
That's right. These people, the irony that these people, that the football world is so empathetic about Andrew Luck, but they can't put themselves in the shoes of those fans standing there like, wait, what? Where I'm looking at social media while I'm watching the Colts, and wait, Andrew Luck's down on the sidelines, and wait, he retired? Is that real? I know I, sitting on my couch, checked social media repeatedly to confirm, oh, this is a parody. Andrew Luck is just retired 2 weeks before.
It was pretty great for us. I work with DJ. We do the Charger broadcast, and we were at the game, but the game wasn't kicking off for an hour. So we're down on the field, and it was fun. I mean, I feel bad saying that, but yeah, I think that's the right word. It was fun to watch just the wave this weird audio wave make its way from the stands down on the, where there's no phones on the field for these players, to the coaches and the media folks that have their phones, and you can just see people talking and their reactions, and then as it trickles onto the field to the players who are warming up, and just to see their reaction, because the Chargers' first week opponent is the Colts. So not only was it making its way onto the field to members of this fraternity, this National Football League fraternity, who couldn't believe one of the best players in the league was going to call it quits, you know, 7 years in with a shot at a Super Bowl, but oh, wait a minute, that's the team we play in week one, and a guy that probably has, you know, MVP aspirations and a Super Bowl's in there isn't going to play. That's pretty interesting. And it was, and I will say there were some reactions that were negative, like, man, that ain't cool. You can't be doing that. And there were others that were like, totally get it. Totally get it. It was just, it's so, and that's, I'm talking about players.
That's right.
Not people, players, to see the difference in the reactions that are 180 right. degrees.
Now, once everybody has a night to meditate on it and realize that if this is about some existential thing that Andrew Luck physically can't make it happen anymore, or he's lost a passion, all that stuff. But to your point about different players getting different reactions, as I said over the weekend when this came down and got a fair amount of pushback on it, is what if Cam Newton did this? Is it the same reaction? Of course it is not. And by the way, that guy has put his body through basically the exact same toll that that Andrew Luck has. If Cam Newton did this, there would not be...
You think so?
See, I think there would be more sympathy.
I don't agree with that.
You think people would be like, "Oh, hey, Cam Newton."
I do. I think because of the way the season ended last year, when he could not throw a football,
the way it is now, he's hobbling.
And I think you see him hobbling now. I think it'd be very similar. I think you'd have that split. The people that say he quit on his team.
But I feel like it's 90-10.
Really,
I feel like the media and the football community has reacted to this as though, hey, shame the devil that you would say boo about Andrew Luck, which I agree. You shouldn't boo him, but given the circumstance that those people, like we say, are probably in their cups and they're with their pals and they're like, wait, what? We're here to watch this team. And by the way, we've bought season tickets and I wear the number 12 on my back. Wait, as I tweeted back to Lindsey Rhodes, who spoke up and said, give these fans a break. They don't know what the circumstance is on Saturday night. So the same thing that I say, I don't think they were booing outright. I think a lot of them at least were bemused-ing. I think they were going like, no, Andrew, don't do it. I think that's what they were actually doing. And, you know, I don't, there's stuff about somebody slashed his tires. I don't know if in fact that's true. I mean, listen, obviously that's absurd. It's a felony. Yes, you're not a hero for pointing out that that sort of behavior is inappropriate. Yeah, it's bogus.
Clearly.
But okay, the people who've accused me of race baiting because I invoked the name Cam Newton, that's on you. I didn't say it had anything to do with that.
You're taking a polarizing quarterback.
There's a narrative about Cam Newton that disagrees with Andrew Luck, that isn't the same as Andrew Luck. And by the way,
which is ironic because they're actually similar.
They're very similar. Yeah. Their trajectory, and by the way, Andrew Luck also
would have been the number one pick of Carolina.
Had he come out and not tried to chase a national title,
and might still be playing, by the way, because he wouldn't have been behind that garbage offensive line that Ryan Grigson put together.
That's exactly right. He would have gone to Carolina. Cam would have gone to the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning wouldn't have gone to the Denver Broncos. He would have gone to Seattle, maybe home to Tennessee. Maybe the Colts would have kept him. Fascinating stuff. Or they get RG3 at the top of the next year's draft, and who knows where RG3 is. That's why what if is fun. But what if, instead of Cam Newton, what if Ben Roethlisberger did this? Would that be the reaction? How about another one? Aaron Rodgers, a little dodgier, not as lovable on face as Andrew Luck. Good hit, man. There's opponents, and I like playing catch with T.Y., and that's cool. Like those guys who are...
I think it's just the era that we're in. I think we're in this time where people are a little more compassionate and understanding than even 5 years ago. You know, I think
because I think the reasons would be the same, right? This is a tough game where I get injured a lot, and mentally and physically, I've just decided this is too much for me to do. And I think everyone who, if that's the context for it, then people would be able to, would sympathize with it. I would take a moment that where Ricky Williams retired, whatever that is, 12 years ago now, at about the same moment in the preseason. And although he didn't express it, obviously, as eloquently as Andrew Luck was able to in his press conference, it was essentially for the same reason. He didn't like playing football anymore, wasn't enjoying it. Part of that, I'm sure, was due to injuries. Part of it was because he wasn't accepted by his team or the way that...
Wasn't there the marijuana narrative?
Well, that was the narrative that came out.
Right.
But actually, it's the same idea, right?
Yeah.
My mental well-being is more important to me than playing football, and he decided that that was the way that he wanted to go afterwards. But you look at the reaction to that. That was 100% of people were like, Ricky Williams is throwing it away. Right. Ricky Williams has let down his team, whatever. We're just in a different era now.
Oh,
And part of it comes down
money.
To
money. And the money.
Right, because,
and the money.
Because, of course, the people up on Mount Pius, about whom I'm delivering some mild scorn, of course, are not just doing this in a vacuum. Like, hey, anybody. Like I say, Andrew Luck, by their measure, did it the right way. And he paid a acceptable level of sacrifice to make it okay. It's Ricky Williams wanting to do it because whatever reason he wanted to do it was not okay.
Vontae Davis leaving at halftime, whatever. You know, I think that's the extreme example. Like, hey, you're not going to go out there for 30 more minutes with your guys and then call it a career after that. Maybe just wait the extra. But again, I'm like, whatever. It's why go out there and take 30 more minutes of hits if you are not into it? I'll tell you this, though. There is an interesting in it. It's not something that's in the media. At least I don't think it is. But because I was at a game and because I've called so many of their games, I've heard it regularly. And because we do the draft, the number one inside football conversation about it, there's a very, you know, it's polarizing and there are two camps. And it's the Stanford guy. Yeah, guy with a very bright guy, multiple interests, doesn't need football, and you hear it every year. You know, and the Chargers drafted a guy that slipped and probably fell down some boards because of it, Jerry Tillery, who's a bright guy from Notre Dame, who's a worldly guy, a scholar, and there are people that say, he's got an injured shoulder. Those are not guys that I want on my team. Is it right? No, but it exists, and the Stanford community hates it. It drives them nuts. And I know it for a fact because Solomon Thomas last year, you know, you go through Jonathan Martin, and I know these are examples, and it's not fair to David Shaw. If he were listening to this right now, he'd want to reach through his speaker and just choke the life out of me. Because I know how crazy it drives him, because it's a very physical football team. You know, of all the teams in the Pac-12, maybe Utah's a little more physical, but it's pretty much Stanford. You're going to get the crap kicked out of you when you play them. While some of these other teams, the fact that USC is now lining it up and spreading it out instead of beating the hell out of you is an embarrassment that Stanford is that physical team. But, and I know that's why it drives them crazy, but man, you want to talk about a specific moment that is going to push that conversation for those people that totally believe in it. And they'll be like, you see, that's what I'm talking about right there. I invest a number one pick and $150 million, and this guy is smart, is worldly, and when you realize you don't need it anymore, you're gone. And I can't afford to do that. And that's going to happen because of this one instance.
You don't even have to look that far, right? His dad, Oliver Luck, played 5 years in the NFL, retired, but to go and become a lawyer. That was his goal. It wasn't to play. He could have played in the NFL for a lot longer. He was a backup quarterback on the Houston Oilers and really, you know, played a little bit, was considered, I think, a good backup quarterback in the league. And back in those days, especially, those guys could have 10, 12-year careers quite easily. He said, no, my goal is not to play football forever. I have a different calling.
But the other side of that coin is I'm completely with you, and I think you interrupted money. He was about to declare that Christian McCaffrey's going to retire next week. That makes sense. He's got the old man who played in the NFL, so he probably doesn't need it as much as other
people. I think the interesting thing is the money's so great now.
That's right.
That you can do it. You can have made.
I think there are plenty of 28-year-old guys in the NFL right now who'd be like, yeah, I mean, I could give it up, but I can't do it because I still need that.
Right. I mean, if you're a number one, not even number one overall, if you're, let's say, if you're a top 15 pick, and I think there are, and if there are those concerns, it's like, okay, by the time this guy's done on his rookie deal, if I pick up his fifth year option, he's going to have pocketed $35 million or 28, whatever it is. When you're in that top 10, you're talking about probably somewhere, if they pick up your fifth year, between $35 and $50 million. Is he going to stick around?
Right.
Because he was pre-med and ultimately says he wants to run his own emergency room and travel the world and build, you know, facilities to help out those. Is he going to do that after? Am I going to really? I think that's the concern, and that
I don't
subscribe to it. I think it is an individual. It is 100% individually based, not institutionally based.
If I may stand up again for the fans a little bit. So that's exactly right. If people don't like the feeling, some sense of embarrassment, I imagine, to be a grown up and feel completely invested, and financially too. Like I say, if you're a season ticket holder, if you have a satellite package, if you wear the merch and you buy it for your family, and it's a reason that you gather with your family around the TV every week, and it's a point of connection for you with those people, that you feel a little bit like the rug got pulled out from under you, that like, oh, He doesn't care about it as much. He's not living and dying it. I'm just a fan, and he's a player, and I've idolized him, and I started rooting for him when I was a senior in high school, and now I'm out. Now I feel silly. I feel a little bit embarrassed. I absolutely can get the psychology of the fan for that, and I think football players, you know, again, not a canary in the coal mine, that this is going to be a new era for football and the relationship with football with players and media and the fans. But, you know, tread lightly there, media and fan and players. You really want to shame people for caring too much? All right, go ahead. See what happens if when you become horse racing.
And remember, Luck turned down the number one pick. I mean, he went back to school where he took a beating. You know, I mean, he is not a guy that was just kind of dinking right. and dunking in a spread offense. I mean, he was taking a beating, and he decided, yeah, I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna get my degree for another year. I know I could be the number one pick and have $50 million guaranteed in my pocket, but I'm going back. So you already knew that he was a different kind of guy. You know,
For all the praise of how smart he is, how smart is a guy who thinks that a Pac-10 team was going to be put into the Final Four over two SEC teams? Silly, silly Luck. You think they would have ever done that? Come on, man. Put you in the title game? No.
This year. This is no, it's not this year.
That's
not even
right.
close.
Now, when he went back, right, there were only two. It was just the two head-to-head teams, like Stanford or Oklahoma State. Should have been Brandon Whedon. He's also out of the NFL.
Also, same draft.
You know what? The one thing I'll say is, and I want to hear from Handsome, who knows Andrew Luck. The one thing I think is going to happen now, even before this, but this will add to it. Last year, Khalil Mack. I mean, you can go through it. Dwayne Brown got traded. I can't do this off the top of my head, but Adrian Peterson. I looked up all the big name guys who moved teams right before the kickoff or even during the season in the last 2 years.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, that's there.
I mean, he was a starting quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett was traded.
Jacoby Brissett
was traded just before the season. The Colts would be in a different spot than they're in right now, and probably panicking quite a bit more than they would be. But I mean, we got trades coming. I mean, by the time you're listening, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, oh yeah, you guys were talking about that, and the Jadeveon Clowney news was breaking. Trent Williams is probably going to move. Shady McCoy maybe gets dropped, or maybe the Bills are trying to send him down or Frank Gore down to Houston. That would make some sense. You can see a lot of these big name guys moving around, and then the backup guys who look good, relatively young. One of those two quarterbacks that are backing up Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh is very likely to get moved via trade rather than cut.
I do think the way the NFL's restructured that, the cuts process, so that it doesn't happen over two weekends but just happens all at once, kind of encourages those types of trades as well, because I think there are guys that would otherwise have been cut by now that teams might say, okay, I'll bring them in for a week just to see if they work for me. But because you don't get that opportunity, I think teams are more likely to make trades.
What, Handsome? Yeah, so I think it's great. It's been one thing that the NFL hasn't had over the other leagues, but now in these last few years, we're seeing some juicy trades right before the thing and swing things. And conceivably, obviously, Khalil Mack swung the NFC
dramatically
with last year's move. Jadeveon Clowney is.
That's the rumor that as soon as he signs that tender, he's gone. You know, and it'll be interesting. You know, I've heard Seattle is being mentioned in that one.
The Eagles.
The Eagles being mentioned. So, you know, because the thing is, you can't sign him to an extension. That's what makes that one different than the Khalil Mack is, you know, you can agree to the extension and you're going to give up all these draft picks and assets in order to get him in. You can't do that with Clowney. You know, because he'll have picked up that tender. It's a one-year deal. He goes into free agency the next year regardless. So I'll be anxious to see. I think that's going to be a bigger market just because you're not going to get two ones like they got from Mack because of the way this.
No, I agree. Yeah, right. I think that's right. But what I think would be a fun little full circle would be Dwayne Brown comes back to Houston. The reason he left was because of discord with ownership. A couple years later,
it lines up.
That could kind of make sense if they sent Clowney up to Seattle. Handsome, Andrew Luck is a friend of yours?
Not a friend of mine.
Andrew Luck? I mean, Oliver Luck?
Oliver Luck was my first boss with the NFL. So I worked for NFL Europe, and Oliver Luck was the equivalent of the commissioner, the president of NFL Europe. So I worked with him in London from 1996, I think, was when I first worked with him. And back then, living in London was Andrew Luck. And, you know, relatively frequently,
he would come in. Do you know who he backed up in the NFL?
In, yes, Archie Manning.
Archie Manning. That's right. Isn't that a funny...
He was also the leading passer in West Virginia history. And then the guy that overtook him was a
Jeff
player
Hostetler.
Called no, was a player called Darren Studstill, who played quarterback.
Oh my goodness!
West
not
Virginia,
Major Harris.
And then went over. Well, no, yeah, it wasn't Major Harris. Then went over and played safety, and it wound up in NFL Europe. And
no
I remember
way.
Spending time with Oliver Luck and Darren Studstill, and Oliver Luck was like, "Yeah, but you're not the quarterback I was. Obviously, you're playing safety," which was funny. Anyway, but yeah, Andrew Luck used to come in the office, age I guess 7 or 8 years old, and you know, I definitely played catch with him in the office. He was into soccer. That's all he was into when he lived in London. Anyway, so he's stayed in touch with the UK. I think the other moment that really resonates with me is at the draft in 2012. I had previously also in the UK worked with the daughter of Jim Irsay, Casey Irsay, and the whole family. So I bumped into her like in the backstage of Radio City Music Hall, and the whole family were there. And I remember being squeezed into an having talked to them, squeezed into an elevator with them, and they were about to go down to the player lounge to obviously it was a foregone conclusion who they were picking. And just like they were made up that they had their guy for the next 12, 15 seasons to be their quarterback, who was going to lead them to multiple Super Bowls and everything else. And, you know, as we all said at the time, like they really fell into
it was ridiculous luck.
They had Peyton Manning and then they had ridiculous luck, Andrew Luck. And, you know, just kind of reflecting on how they would have been feeling now versus obviously I don't necessarily feel sorry for them at this point. But, you know, it's crazy to think that didn't last quite as long as.
I mean, and also the one I always throw out there is imagine if you were a Packers fan, you went from star, then, you know, Mikowski and Lynn Dickey were all right guys.
It was a pretty big gap. But yeah,
I know. But then you go Brett Favre into Aaron Rodgers right. for like now 27 years in yep. a row, 28 years in a row. The Colts fans went Peyton and Luck, well, although I guess that 1 year they didn't really do that. But yeah, it was Curtis Painter.
Curtis Painter was, I think, one of the...
Anyway, Jim Sorgi.
And yet three Lombardis between the Packers and Colts over the last 27 years or so. That's weird. But anyway. All right, what the spaghetti? Are you taking a nap back there? Was it too much on Andrew Luck?
Keeping notes, actually.
Huh?
Keeping notes all over my page.
Did anyone get traded while we were talking? Is there anything we've missed?
No, I've been going back and forth with Twitter, mostly just Luck talk.
Eddie Spaghetti back there is wearing a Wade Boggs Tampa Bay Devil Rays jersey.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
it was an interesting selection.
I was gonna grab a Yankees one today, but I didn't want to rub it in the Dodgers fans' faces.
It's all right.
No, I just
no problem with that.
I grabbed this. It was whenever I'm wearing a jersey, you could indicate that I got dressed very early in the morning. I just didn't feel like putting effort into it. So,
if I may,
you may.
How about this, Yankee fans? Yeah, we know. There's a lot of New Yorkers that now live in L.A. You know why you live here? Because you like it more than New York. That's why you live here. You're not going back there because it's better here than it is at home. That's what you've determined. So don't show up in Dodger Stadium in your stupid-ass jersey, puffing your chest out going, hey, guess who's here? Guess who's taking over Dodger Stadium this weekend? Ah, you bums. You don't know baseball, you idiots.
That was the Yankees?
You bums, you idiots.
I thought that was a bunch of cat burglars.
You guys don't know. That's why they left. Brooklyn, yeah, whatever, bunch of loot. Shut up. You want to wear your jersey and you want to watch the game? Great. Enjoy yourself. I am all for it. Have a great time. It's an awesome ballpark, and the team is playing great. It's a potential World Series preview. What I don't need is, and this, we did the show from Dodger Stadium on Friday, and I am driving up Cesar Chavez to get there. And it just set the tone for the next 3 hours of my life where there's this guy that looks like, the best way I can describe him is, you remember Big Pussy from The Sopranos? Mm-hmm. That's what he looks like. And he's got this T-shirt jersey on, right? Guy's probably 50 years old. And he's got a Didi Gregorius. Like, he's got the name Gregorius on the back of his. And he's walking through. It's a green light. It's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So a lot of the financial houses are getting let out of work. The street's packed. It's rush hour. It's a green light. You don't want to get stuck at these lights. You want to get home. And traffic stinks. And he's got, and this is the thing. The whole pursed lips is not a Donald Trump thing. It's a New York thing. They always walk around like this,
yeah,
with their lips pursed, right? Mm-hmm. And so this guy is walking through the middle of the street. in a green light.
I love that guy.
In a six lane, and he's got his Gregorius shirt on, and this car honks at him, and he looks at the car and he goes, "Relax already. We're going to the game." I'm like, wait a minute. One, no, you relax and wait for the freaking light to change. Two, oh, really? You're going to the game, fat guy with a Gregorius shirt on. Thanks for the freaking update. Appreciate that. And it was that guy multiplied. There were probably...
Then you realize that guy was Eddie Spaghetti.
It might as well have been.
I wish I was there on Friday. I would have loved to see the show live. I went to the Saturday show where they lost, unfortunately, but I had a great time there.
Good yeah, piece. Just non... I don't know if you guys watched Sunday Night Baseball,
yeah,
but it was that dude from the TV who was in the front row.
That's John Turturro's brother.
Exactly,
right?
Turturro,
yeah.
I think, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
And he, hey, ESPN, how about not putting the Yankee fan on in a single, every single Aroldis Chapman pitch?
It was
and
a lot.
He's pounding his chest. He's like, Yankees, yeah. Yankees, and I'm like, sit down. Sit down.
L.A., the reason I resent New Yorkers is because L.A. has this weird national stink that probably is the only reason, I guess, ultimately why L.A. real estate isn't even more expensive, is that New Yorkers define American opinion more than I think the country would acknowledge. And so New Yorkers would never live anywhere outside of New York. There's no real why would you ever leave the five boroughs.
Crazy.
Okay, I want to be in the industry. So then they'll move to Los Angeles. And then, not because L.A. stinks in any way, it's just that it's not New York, then people cast aspersions on it. Like, the light is weird out here, and everybody's a freak.
Right.
And that is...
Nobody says hi to you on the streets.
We'll say the light is phony out here. For real.
What?
I've had that conversation.
The light is weird.
With directors who are from New York, like... I mean, I know the golden hour is great, but the light is weird. It's unnatural kind of light. There's no change in it.
It's
like,
light. It's natural.
What are you complaining about? The weather is nice. But everybody's a phony. So everybody in the nation thinks L.A. is a bunch of... But the real mayor, I don't know what people think. But yeah, so the New Yorkers have cast Los Angeles in an unnecessarily grim light, I think.
Yeah.
Yet they chose to live here for 25 years now.
Right.
How long you been here? How long I been here? 30 years.
Oh, you know,
and you still talk like that? Really?
Can't beat the weather, though.
Never able to shake the accent. What can I say? I'll tell you what you can say. You can sound like me, because I was able to shake my accent in 6-7 years once I got here. Every now and then it'll show up, but I don't sound like this.
I'd like
it
if you would.
Eddie, maybe you guys, if you all could weigh in on this as well. You've all been in New York enough. Maybe it was just the fans at the game. Are New Yorkers the worst dressed?
By far. Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
It blew me down they have a terrible fashion sense, these people. They all wear like Jerry Seinfeld bright white sneakers with jeans and sneakers,
yes.
I'm like,
precisely.
What the hell is this? Hey, it's right, Yankees are in town. It's going to be great.
Now I have to step in. This is a direct assault on spaghetti. And
oh, yeah, I dress like that. I mean, I don't put effort into it whatsoever.
In case you didn't notice, Spaghetti's a grown man behind the glass. Yeah. He's sitting there with his hat turned backwards, a Wade Boggs jersey, and tight-fitting jeans with white
sneakers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
No, it's very accurate.
You just described
it. I don't.
Sorry.
I'm not offended in the least because, like, I know. Like, it's
it really blew me away. Just seeing a mass of people over the 2 hours of them just pouring into Dodger Stadium. I was like, these people don't know how to dress. This is terrible.
I felt at home. I actually weirdly sat next to a kid from Staten Island who, like, lived in Tucson, made the drive. And it was just, we had a nice little section. But the Dodger fans, to their credit, they were super nice. Like, hey, that was a great game. We were, like, high-fiving and stuff. Like, we enjoyed it. I mean, it's fine. We'll take 2 of 3.
Hey, listen.
I mean, we should have tied the game anyway. Glaber was more than halfway. You can't call timeout, but that's a different podcast.
All right, let's get through some quick subjects. How much more time do we have here, Spaghetti?
I know Money has to get out soon. We were about 42 minutes deep.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
A little bit of time.
Not too bad. All right. You know what, Handsome? Dealer's choice. You go. What do you want to... What football-related
Eddie,
item?
He's written down some things here. Let's read them out. So, Andrew Luck retirement, we've definitely covered.
Well, okay, Brissett, you know what? That's a fine subject.
Okay.
AFC South, who's going to win it? Is there another team in contention? Is there another team that gets a wild card spot out of the four?
I already told you that the Jags weren't going to the
playoffs. I know, but isn't it disrupted by this Andrew Luck news?
If they get two more wins against the Colts instead of maybe two more losses.
But I don't know that... I mean,
obviously Andrew Luck is an important player, but does that equal two more wins for the Jags? I don't know that that necessarily would follow.
I can't figure out the Jacoby Brissett people. You know, it's like
what the people who think.
Well, either way, I think it's more like you don't know. I mean, right. Yeah, the guy only won four games over the course of a season, but that team was terrible.
Yeah.
At the same time,
this is a totally different.
Yeah.
They didn't really have a defense, and they definitely didn't have
that O-line.
Now they've got an O-line, and they've got a young, improving defense.
But then I see on the flip side of that, it's like it's Andrew Luck's one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen play the game of football. So to think that, like, oh, you know what? I like that Brissett guy. It's like, but it's Andrew Luck.
Here's this to me, the comp is, though, is that where was Frank Reich before he arrived in Indianapolis, and who did he have success with? Nick Foles. I could definitely see that transition. It's not like I'm sure Reich to some degree is
bright enough guy.
It doesn't mean that Jacoby Brissett's going to make the same in-game decisions and see the field in the same manner that Nick Foles does, but at least there's some track record for, okay, you're not as good as our number one going into the season, but we can get by with you. And by the way, the Colts are structured in another point we've made all through the offseason. The entire AFC South is predicated on defense. All four of those teams have great defenses. And now I wonder if the Colts are probably behind the scenes, like, you know, Shady McCoy's splash here. But I wonder if they're kind of thinking like, hey, Bills, you want to throw Frank Gore back our way? Because what they lack is a banger. Marlon Mack's a playmaker, and T.Y. Hilton is as well. I wonder if there's some ability to make something like that happen, because that's now what jumps out at you. Andrew Luck can't save you in the fourth quarter at this point. That's what he would do. He would cover up. I mean, in line with, like you always talk about, Phil Rivers disguising the quality of the overall offense. I think you could say that about Russell Wilson, Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, the usual suspects. But I think that they're not going to have that luxury that Luck provided. But Luck also was, I'm going to say something negative about Andrew Luck's football. And
so hold your tongue.
I might get beaten up by it in the next 48 hours for saying boo about Andrew Luck. He threw a fair amount of interceptions and bad decisions based on that. Maybe Jacoby Brissett is an upgrade in that regard. But the money's point, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
No idea.
Let's see a month.
Yeah, we'll see September 8th out here in L.A.
But if everybody has the same thing, then what is different about these teams? And it's who has the most playmakers on offense. The Jags, if you buy that Leonard Fournette can make it a full season behind what's a decent offensive line, if he can just bang you in the second halves of games, and that was what they were supposed to be 2 years ago and what they wanted to be last year, maybe that's the difference. But then on the other hand, I still come back to the Texans, I think.
I already thought the Texans...
Defense isn't going to be as good, though. Right. But I do... And I know they don't have Lamar Miller now, but, you know, the receivers plus Deshaun Watson, to me, that's the difference in the division.
They have the best quarterback in the
division.
They've
got the best quarterback. They've got...
The best pass rusher.
At receivers. They've got the best pass rusher. Yeah.
Best receiver, best quarterback, best pass rusher.
Lamar Miller, you know, sad to see him go out, but I'm not sure that's...
I think Duke Johnson.
I think they'll sign Jay Ajayi this week as well.
Do you?
I do.
Ooh, and you talk with the Englishman, eh?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't have any...
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, hello, Henry. I was just speaking of you with Oliver.
That's exactly...
He took your call. You blew a call in. What's the latest, Jay?
No.
Remember when Jay knew American history better than you did?
That was embarrassing. I mean, but also not surprising. He lived in America.
We asked Handsome Hank and Jay Ajayi a couple of years ago. We did a little U.S. history quiz, and we said, who was the first president of the United States? Jay Ajayi correctly said George Washington.
Who did I say? I can't remember. I don't even remember.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, that's right. It was Lincoln.
Said Abraham Lincoln.
I would have put you on a giant catapult with an American flag and locked you back over to pond for that.
I tell you what, I would let go of that flag as soon as I could.
Money, let's talk about... So what's your pick for the division? Texans?
Yeah.
Do you think... Was it
your pick before?
No, Colts. Colts was my pick before.
I'm tempted because I think that people consider themselves sexy for saying, I'm going to stick with the Colts because I buy Jacoby Brissett when it's just a complete crapshoot.
No idea.
But I do think that defense is maybe the best in the AFC.
The O-line's definitely the best in the AFC, that's for sure. Yeah. Defense is really good.
AFC or AFC South?
AFC South, I mean. You know what?
Well, because I thought it was...
It's up there, man.
Sure. The transition.
It's an awesome offensive line.
Yeah, and while the transition, that takes us to your team, the L.A. Chargers. And a week ago, Spaghetti and I went over to Chargers camp, had a great time talking to, go back and listen to it, in fact, because they were all delightful guys in their own ways. Joey Bosa and Mike Williams and Jerry Tillery had fun kibitzing with all those guys. And we're talking about, is this the year finally that the football gods take their thumb off you guys and let somebody else have it? Yeah, and then Derwin James goes down. How significant, in my book, Derwin James right now, one of the five best defensive players in the NFL because of his versatility, which is what the 21st century is all about in defense, is how you can trick up offenses a little bit and move a guy around. Derwin James is obviously great at that, as Money told us he would be. A year ago, in fact, you said, you look at this kid in camp. They are doing everything that a human being can do with this guy. So he's out. The defense still, though, pretty good.
Well, I think the difference is, you know, last year when Bosa was out to start the season, everybody said, okay, can you go 500? Maybe even if you go a game under 500, you know, you can make that push and get a wild card. And they went 7-2 without him. To me, the way he looks, the way he's moving, a full off season of you know, not being injured. And I think he is going to wreck the NFL. I just do. I think he's going to come back. And now when you pair that with Melvin Ingram on the other side, and I've been super impressed with, I mean, you sat down with three outliers physically. Like when you see Joey Bosa, you're like, okay, there aren't people built like right. that. He's that. Same with Mike Williams. You're like, wait a minute, that guy's,
he told us, I asked
that
him
big
if he
and
lifts.
Can run that fast.
Joey Bosa lifts. That's part of why so big. Yeah.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He told us that.
So you got Mike Williams, who I think is going to have a huge year at the receiver position.
Yep.
And then you saw Jerry Tillery, who is just a massive and super athletic human being now on the inside. So now you have Bosa, Ingram, and Tillery is now on the inside of that. What I'm getting at is that can help you overcome for anything right. that's behind
in
it. When you have that much dominance on that front line, you can help compensate. It's still going to affect them. They do have a pretty good guy to plug in, and Adrian Phillips, someone who played safety and linebacker in college, played safety and linebacker for the Chargers last year, was an all-pro as a special teamer because he's just that good at diagnosing football and recognizing where he needs to make a play. He's not Derwin, but I think they're fortunate that they can put him in the box and at least feel good that he can run with tight ends, he can bang with tight ends, he can run with, you know, slot receivers if need be, and he can rush the passer. So I think that helps. But for me, the way they overcome it is that Bosa is 100% and he and Ingram just destroy
offensive
lines.
And like you hint at, Derwin James, the forecast at least is that he could be back in December. So
yeah, week 11, I think is...
You plug him in and they're thriving, then that would be a scary prospect for the rest of the league. But what about, is Melvin Gordon potentially going to move?
I have no idea.
Talk about names that could be moved.
I don't think he moves just because I don't think there's a market.
Right.
There's no market for him because no one wants to pay him what he wants. I mean, if they know what he turned down, like, well, we're not giving him more than that. So there's just, it wouldn't make sense. I think the Chargers.
You don't think the Texans or maybe the Colts?
I mean, look,
now,
if someone called the Chargers and said, we'll give you a one, they'd be like, sure, take him. He's yours. I mean,
but
no one will.
Not a first. But wouldn't the Colts have the money? I know that they're not off the hook of Andrew Luck's deal, but they get some relief for Andrew Luck's retirement.
I mean, I would guess if there were, you know, if they're what, look, they did it before with Trent Richardson, you know, offered up a one.
What are you
going
to do? I mean, if you're Melvin Gordon, if you're in the Melvin Gordon camp, what are you going to be like? Okay, I guess I really am going to just sit out the season.
No, I think he just comes back. That's what I think.
Like we talked about, yeah. But I could now see them being incented to say, like, hey, is there something that I save face, I make a little bit more money and move to Houston or Indianapolis?
I think he'd prefer that.
Yeah, but I don't.
There's sure he'd prefer it,
but I don't think the market exists. I think at least first the teams will see what shakes out after the cuts.
Yeah, but what if you're the Colts? But what if you're the Colts now, and you have people actually calling up and saying, I want my money back on my season tickets. Do you feel some obligation to try and like, oh, look at what we did. We tried to make something good out of it.
That's why I think your idea of Frank Gore going back there or Shady McCoy if he gets cut is more like they'll look at what happens this weekend with players getting cut before they'll decide to make a trade for Melvin Gordon if there's someone that you can replace them with.
And I think you look at the character of the front office, and that just doesn't seem like a right. Chris Ballard move to trade a high. Because I think for the Chargers, it's, you know, they feel like they can win a Super Bowl this year. So they're not interested in future assets to rebuild it. They got a 37-year-old quarterback in his 14th season, you know, a D-line that they feel is arguably the best in football. Let's go win a Super Bowl, and Melvin's going to recognize, I got to come back. I have no choice here. I'm just having fun.
I would say, hey, send us, you know what? Send us Justin Houston. We'll give you Melvin Gordon. You send us Justin Houston. That would be an interesting piece to drop into the Chargers.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's interesting. I think for them, they're pretty stacked. That's the thing about their roster. I mean, unless like they look, if the Dolphins called and said, hey, we'll give you Tunsil for Gordon and a one, take him. We'll take the left tackle. I mean, that's the only thing, because that's what's interesting about the NFL now, you know, and you kind of talked about it with the quarterback position that are we at quarterback saturation? There's only one position really left where you have just a dearth of talent, and it's O-line. Yeah. It's tackles. There are so few dominant left tackles in this league. And I think that's where, you know, that's why I think the Texans look at it and go, hey, if you want to send us a left tackle, we'll send you Clowney. You number one overall pick, take him, but we need a left tackle because there aren't any. I mean, that's why the whole stuff with the Dolphins and Tunsil is like, you crazy? They're not trading that guy. There's no way they're trading that because it's impossible to find.
You know what? Another team, again, I know PR to their detriment is too often not at all on the radar. It's like that serious football guy. That's not how you build a team, is listening to the fans. But if you're up in Washington, D.C., and everybody's buzzing about America's team and about Carson Wentz's return and Saquon, don't you kind of, and you see ticket sales and you see the crowd and the lack of enthusiasm in our nation's capital, wouldn't you at least be able to say, like, all right, Houston, Trent Williams is yours. Give us Clowney. And then we have this insane pass rush that we're going to throw at you with Montez Sweat and Kerrigan. And now if you threw Clowney into that, at least it would be like, man, what a
defense.
That
just makes too much. I don't know why that hasn't happened.
See, I would disagree and say it's so much harder to find Trent Williams again. He's young. He's only 31.
He's made it very clear he's not playing.
Right. I mean, I think that's what you have to figure out. It's like you've got to get out there and figure out how to get that guy back. Because we got this pocket passer who's got an awesome arm that's going to be starting for us by week four. We got to protect him. Get Trent Williams back out there.
But it's funny, though, again, if you're the Texans, you just now take a lay of the land. And Andrew Luck being out, I'm sure Bill O'Brien didn't shed tears when he heard the news. Imagine now, people are kind of like, yeah, the Texans, Deshaun Watson's really good. New Hopkins is hard to stop. He catches everything. I don't think there's a lot of fear in Foxborough or in Carson, no, California, or in Arrowhead Stadium right now of what the Texans ultimately can do. If you fix that, though, and you put Trent Williams there.
I completely agree. I think they'd do that deal in a second.
Yikes.
They would do it in a second. No question. I think they'd do it. They'd do it for Dwayne Brown. You know, that to get him back. But I don't think the Seahawks should give him up. I mean, maybe they do because Russell's ability to think about how bad that O-line was, and he was still throwing for 3,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, you know, and then rushing for another 10. But it's really interesting that's kind of now the great golden egg that you've got to find. Good luck finding a left tackle, and just look at the money that was thrown around 2 years ago. You know, that Matt Khalil, Reef, Okun, like those contracts that were handed out were nuts. They were 70,
and they're
80.
Not the best,
exactly.
And they're not the best left tackles. Those are the guys that...
Right, that were just available teams, yeah, because their teams were like, well, they're not very good. We'll let them go. And like, you know what? We'll take average.
I think
we'll pay for average.
Money. I think it goes further than just left tackles. I think offensive linemen
period.
In general.
Yeah.
Like left tackles, obviously,
right,
the marquee position on that line.
Which continues. And by the way, we've been talking about that for 3 years now here on DDFP, that it is... So kind of like it's hard to really be fully invested, passionate about that discussion, but it really is what decides who goes to the Super Bowl more often than not, is who's controlling both lines of scrimmage. You know, it really comes down to those are the teams. Like, what is it? Is it the quarterback? Is it the splashy wide receiver? It's those guys. It's why the Eagles look so good right now. You just know that inherently from watching football. But I couldn't define for you why Jason Peters, as a 300-pound man, is better at pushing other large humans than your league average schnook is at left tackle. It's very hard.
I mean, look at what
it's hard to evaluate. It's it,
And I know I always bring it back to the Chargers, but it's just what I see every day. Like, look at their third round pick. This guy, Trey Pipkins, he's from Sioux Falls State, you know, a D2 school, and he's a total project at left tackle. He might be their day one starter just because he's so athletic, big, can anchor. And they're like, yeah, he's going to give up some plays because he doesn't know what he's doing. But you know what? We're gonna take our chances because he's so much better than the other options.
As far as that goes, I mean, that would be, if they want to do something risky, I get why it would be risky. But Jason Peters has what, like 1 to 3 years left in his career? Move him. Handsome's pal has provided depth. They have great depth up in Philly. Go get Clowney.
They drafted Andre Dillard as well. So right. they have their
replacement.
Their replacement on the left side and on the right side, hopefully, in Jordan Mailata.
All right. We got to run. I don't like DC. Like I say, they need to make a splash. What they're doing with Case Keenum, it really outrages me for Skins fans. Why? Case Keenum, Jay Gruden, like this job saving move on his part, like this will provide me stability and I won't be taken to task for starting the rookie, which by the way is exactly what buys you like, sorry, things got sideways, we went with the rookie guy, you know, that can be tough for us. That
developing
nobody
him.
Would
needs his reps.
Case Keenum, if they're 1-5 or whatever, somebody, you know, if they come out of the gate poorly, then like Jay Gruden will go because of Case Keenum. I don't understand that you burn the 12th overall pick or whatever it was on Dwayne Haskins and you don't roll with
his favorite.
But
I think it's clearly the reason he's made that. I mean, I agree with you 100%, but the reason he's made that decision is he thinks he would be 1-5 or 0-6 with Dwayne Haskins.
I know, but then you at least have the cover of saying they're
that, but yeah, but that would make sense on any other team. But I don't think the Redskins. I think Jay Gruden's gone after the season, short
regardless
of the Super Bowl.
I'm going. He's kept his job much longer than I ever thought than I ever thought possible. Some quick questions for money. Let's talk about the teams in purple. First of all, I am insisting everybody go on the record because not since Chip Kelly entered the NFL and everybody declared one or the other, going to revolutionize pro football or this is going to be a bust. Lamar Jackson running a mid-80s Barry Switzer, Big 8, wishbone style.
I like to see it. I
can't wait to see it either. I wish it weren't on a team I'm rooting against, given my loyalties. But I think it works.
It was my favorite, by the way. There's not a lot of highlights from the preseason, right? Sean McVay ruined the preseason for everybody. It's over now. But the best moment, if you didn't see it, it made its way through social media, but there was a moment, I think it was either their first or their second preseason game. I think Ray Lewis was in the booth, if I remember right, as the third guy, and Lamar threw a pass, and it just kind of was outside the range, just barely outside, and whoever the second guy, the analyst says, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Lamar's accuracy is getting a little bit better. And Ray Lewis, not recognizing what he was doing or that he was in the Baltimore booth, thinking he was still on ESPN or something, goes, oh, that ain't the guy he was throwing to. That's how far off mark the pass was. He just
one that sailed
over.
Yes,
he's like, yeah, that's not the guy he was throwing to. So if Lamar's going to throw 30 passes a game, I'm definitely interested to see that. And I know for whatever reason it's taboo to talk about his accuracy, but that guy can't throw outside the numbers. It's crazy. It makes no sense. He throws a beautiful ball.
This is money as a no. This doesn't work.
I don't think he's going to throw 30 passes. I'm with you. I think you want to have success with Lamar.
Oh, because the spaghetti roadie's probably going to.
That's what he said.
I'm not talking about throwing 30. Will this Baltimore offense thrive in 2019?
I don't think so.
No. Money's a no.
I don't
think
so.
Put him down
so.
For a no. All right, good. I like that. I think it's going to work. It's just such a, like I keep saying, it's Navy years ago. Just
you're a fool for scheduling the service academies.
How would you
NCAA
know?
Football,
how,
it's impossible.
If you're a defensive coordinator, just what a pain in the bum to have to we got to forget.
Exactly. And we saw it last year, right? They played the Chargers on Saturday night. They got them for 2.5 quarters. Then the Chargers caught up and nearly stole that game because they figured it out after the first half. And then they housed them and forced 5 fumbles in the wild card game in Baltimore because it's like, okay, I got it now.
I know, but I also think Hollywood Brown, you have to follow him. What are you not going to do? You're not going to. He has to.
Oh, no, let him. Keep him outside the numbers. Hey, you burn me on that. Go ahead. And then I'll take it right here on the chest.
And then they have 17 tight ends,
right.
You know, 10 yards deep. And the thing that to me that makes
Georgia
Tech going to work, the thing, but what it to me is striking now versus last season is for what it's worth. And I think it's a pretty marginal difference between a really high end running back. That's what we keep talking about. Melvin Gordon versus Eckler, Justin Jackson, or any number of other examples is you think about the difference in style that they're going to throw out there. Gus Edwards to Mark Ingram to Kenneth Dixon to Justice Hill. That's going to be a lot to plus Lamar Jackson, that's a lot to manage if you're from a physical standpoint as a linebacker trying to go get one of those guys. It's not like one size fits all. They have different skills. So when the ball sweeps in one direction versus Lamar Jackson then rolling with Justice Hill on his hip and might give it.
They have a new OC, right?
Yeah.
So, I think that was part of the problem last year with Morningweg is he just wanted to throw it around. It's not in his DNA to commit to that. But I think you're right. I mean, you saw it a little bit last year when they ran that mesh with Gus Edwards. That's a load, man. That dude is huge. And it was tough to stop. And for whatever reason, you know, Morningweg's like, all right, now let's start to throw it around. It's like, okay. Let's do that. That's a lot better than what you were doing there with the options. So.
I mean, as they say ad nauseum, if you ever watch an option-based team, a run-based team in college football, they always say, this team's not built to come from behind, which always then begs the question in the NFL when everybody scores 30-some points just about every game, it feels like it begs the question, well, that was a bad idea offensively to build your team that can't rally. That you're going to find yourself behind in some games.
Well, like we said, though, you have to have the defense to go with it.
But I buy that that's the question. If the Ravens' defense isn't shut down again like it was last year, then this definitely doesn't work. But I get the sense that they are going to be good. Just because the name brands left doesn't mean that they're doomed to fail.
I hope it works. It'll be fun. You know, it'll be like
I hope it doesn't work because I want the Steelers to win the division.
So they can still win the division and it can work.
Yeah.
Let them get the wild card.
They can be a wild card team. And you know, they can get knocked out in the wild card.
Exactly.
Right? Which is kind of what that type of offense
one
feels
more
like.
Right. Spaghetti shout out. It's time to shut it down here. But one more question. And until you say that, I'm going to keep saying one more question.
We should let money get out.
All right. One more question then. Kirk Cousins. Good enough money to win the NFC North this season. Because, you know, everybody,
I'm going to go with yes.
I'm on board with Dalvin Cook. I like what Mike Zimmer.
Love the receivers.
Pretty consistently do with just about any defense, let alone this talent.
O-line showed it was better last year.
A little bit better. Well, they tried to address it a little bit. I think Dalvin Cook is, I said that in 2018, if he's healthy, he's the thing that makes it go. Forget Kirk Cousins. But now it does appear that he is healthy. So you say yes.
I do. I think they are good enough because I still have a ton of questions about Trubisky and whether or not he really is a quarterback that can win a division back to back, you know, can win division routinely. I think there's a ton of questions about the Packers defense. I don't know what the heck they were doing letting Mike Daniels go. I don't understand that. Maybe there's just something. Obviously, they're much smarter than I am. So I think there's questions there defensively. You know, and then, of course, there's the Lions. So I think he's good enough.
Sad for the poor Lions. Nobody gives them any shot at all. And Matt Patricia had a full year to overhaul things.
Hey, go ahead. Use that pencil on that laminated card of yours.
As long as as long as you're not doing it based on what you've seen in August, that's not impacting your decision, is it?
Oh, it impacts everything. It's all about the preseason for me. Let's see what those, 54 through 90 looks like. And I'm going to make my decisions based on that.
Matt Stafford.
That linebacker wearing the number 40 jersey.
Right.
It's like he's really good.
Wonder if Matt Stafford.
You know what's funny? Actually, the guy that wears number 40 for the Chargers is going to make the team. Chris Pease. He is really good. That's great.
Yeah. 40.
Of all the numbers to pick.
I have to watch an inordinate amount of fourth quarter preseason games because that's when some of our international players are playing. And everyone is like, wait, what am I looking at? The numbers are all wrong. Everything's off. Like the defensive ends wearing number 63.
Oh, there's a linebacker that wore 8 the other
day.
There's
a linebacker wearing number 8. There's a linebacker wearing number 41. You just like get
Notre Dame ain't helping. They're the number one culprits of putting single digits on their defensive linemen, and it makes them impossible for me to evaluate. Yep. They don't look right out there. I can't tell if they're actually big or not. Yeah.
No, and on Penn State with that just, was it 2?
Skinny 11. That, no, he had
11.
11. Yeah, I had 11. It was just, what? 11, and then you just see this mammoth human being destroying everything in its wake.
All right, last question.
All right.
Since you love your preseason so much.
Oh, yeah.
Based on what you've seen.
It's been great.
Are you buying the Pittsburgh Steelers as a top five defense this year?
No question. I thought it was the best defense the Chargers saw last year. That defensive line is nasty. It is. I mentioned the Chargers might have the best. That'd be the other one I'd put in there with them. You know, that thing is...
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I love
that
them.
That D-line is great.
They just have no depth, though. They have
But that's most teams, you know?
I don't know. Some teams have a rotation going up there. The Steelers do not. That's
I think that's the
liability.
They are my pick to win the AFC North. I think last year... Ton of distractions.
Oh, money's talking. He's getting me excited a little bit. Now I just have to hope Roethlisberger doesn't retire before the season. Well, but he's allowed to. If he does.
If he doesn't, he's gonna remind you four or five times that he could. You know, he might not.
That's right.
But he'll remind you that he's thinking about it. Week to week, he'll remind you he's thinking about it now.
No, only when he has a bad game. When he plays well, then he talks about the old Cowboys.
Who do you think the number two receiver is in Pittsburgh?
It's
all said and done, who ends up with the most touchdowns, yardage, opposite Juju?
It's got to be James Washington. Dante Moncrief, I do think,
seems like a Steelers receiver.
I think, and by the way, I think that this is one of those things that, you know, people, they love to do the put a guy in a different situation and all that in the hypothetical. And in reality, I think this is where you will see, you know, Roethlisberger for whatever, all this stuff. But I mean, Santonio Holmes and Plexico and Mike Wallace. And I mean, you know, there are a number of the only exception to that rule is Emmanuel Sanders. Guys tend to put up their best numbers with Roethlisberger because he is above league average. And so these guys are going elsewhere. The only place where that, like I say, wasn't true was with Manny Sanders going to Denver. I think Moncrief elevates. What do you want to say?
It's funny. I like, because whenever you do your Chris Berman impression, you just name names, and you just did that yourself, but you weren't.
Oh, yeah, the name soup.
I was just naming Mike guys Wallace. Who had their best season.
Santonio Holmes, Mike Wallace.
There was Hines Ward. There was Plexico Burress. There was Santonio Holmes. Look, there are a lot of good wide receivers in Pittsburgh, but Ben Roethlisberger is the straw that stirs the drink, like Jerry sang about oh so long ago. What a long, strange trip it's been. Back on the blitz.
So good.
That's one. What I was.
I was listing those names because that made sense.
We're done. That was too good.
We're done.
That's how you ended.
End on that note. Yeah.
That's how you end it.
All right. We could talk about Star Wars the next time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Money. Spaghetti made a note here. We didn't have any Kent Brown mom voicemails for you.
Next week.
Hallowed occasion for us. This is our first show together since May 23rd.
When are we doing another one?
Hopefully next week, right?
Really?
Can we do another
one
next
week? Games?
Red Challenge flag picks coming at you next week.
All right.
Also, Mina Kimes is going to be in studio. We'll look forward to kibitzing with her. We got to catch up with Will Brinson to do our NFC South annual quarterback rankings, which we never get right. I still have to tell you some teams that aren't going to make it to the playoffs. Much to achieve before kickoff. 9 days from the time of this recording, I believe. Anywho, I'm now excited for football now that we see Money and Handsome Hank back here in Studio 66. We hope you continue to hear us and watch us. NFL.com/DDFP is how you do it. It's been a thin slice of heaven.